Today is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and these are the announcements. Today is the feast of Saint Blaise, whom we'll speak about in a few moments, but in honor of this great saint, two beeswax candles, actually we have four blessed because we have two priests administering this sacramental. These 100% beeswax candles will be blessed in honor of St. Blaise. And then after Mass, there will be the blessing of throats. So you just come to the communion rail to receive this blessing. If any of you were unable to receive the blessed purification candles after Mass yesterday, one of the seminarians will be in the back of the chapel after Mass to distribute them to you if you would like. And then there will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Some of the other saints this week, tomorrow, Saint Andrew Corsini. On Tuesday, the great martyr, St. Agatha. Wednesday, St. Titus. Thursday, St. Romuald. Friday, St. John of Malta. And then on Saturday, St. Cyril of Alexandria, bishop, confessor, and doctor in the Eastern Church, in the early centuries of the church. And then also on Saturday the 9th is a saint that all of us should pray to often. And in fact, all the priests and seminarians in our community pray to her frequently. And she is Saint Apollonia, the patroness of dentists and dental workers and really anyone going to the dentist. When you have a tooth problem, you pray to her, and she has helped us out a great deal in that regard. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was covered by the waves. But he was asleep. So his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Fortunately for all of us, who are at this chapel, who assist at Mass at this chapel, and the priests who offer Mass, we still believe in the saints and the miracles of the saints. So St. Blaise was the Bishop of Sebastia in Armenia, and this was in the latter part of the 3rd century, beginning of the 4th century. And as we know with many early saints, he had been born of noble parents and received a Christian education. This is during the persecutions of the church, by the way, both in the East and West. And he was called to the religious life. He became a priest, and then he was made a bishop while he was still quite young. However, when the persecutions came right to his hometown, his area in Armenia, he decided to flee. And this was by God's direction. Sometimes a priest or bishop is inspired by God to remain with his flock and be martyred with them. In other cases, they're inspired to leave temporarily and then come back, such as this saint and also many other prelates. So he went to a cave in the mountains, and unfortunately this cave was filled with wild beasts. So that was not a place to hide out. But because of his divine assistance, he was not accosted by these beasts. And some of them were injured, these animals. He healed these wild animals and blessed them. A little while later, some hunters came, and they were looking for animals to take to the amphitheater to be used to kill Christians. So they gathered up these animals, and they took St. Blaise with them, because they were amazed that he was in the midst of these animals and not harmed. So they seized him anyway and wanted to submit him to the Roman authorities. And we know that this is very well-being. It's authentic, because look at the stories of Daniel in the lion's den. If you know the story, he was put in this prison of lions who were starving. They were starved so that they would consume Daniel the prophet instantly. And these were done by evil men who convinced the king to do this. And here he was in the midst of these animals, these lions, completely unharmed. And when that king saw it, he knew that the God of the Israelites was the true God, took Daniel out of the pit, threw his enemies in, and they were devoured in seconds. So here is St. Blaise on this journey with these wild animals. And on this way, they met a poor woman. And all she had to her name, in terms of owning anything, was a pig. And that pig had been carried off by a wolf. So what did St. Blaise do? Because they had witnessed this wolf take away the pig. St. Blaise ordered that wolf to bring back the pig and restored the animal to this poor woman. And on the journey, as it continued to Rome, another woman, obviously inspired by God, brought her little boy, who was about to die, because he was choking on a fishbone that he's trying to swallow. And so this one brought the boy to the saint, and he cured the boy of this malady. So now you know why St. Blaise is invoked whenever there is a sickness or some trouble with a person's throat. When they finally reached, that is St. Blaise and his captors, they reached Rome. The governor, Archelaus, ordered him to be scourged and deprived of food. And then he was put in prison. By the grace of God, the woman who had lost her pig, but it was restored to her by the saint, she found out that this patron of hers, the one that helped her, was in prison. And so she brought food for him, provisions, to help him survive. Because the prisons back then, as you have heard before, were not the mostly clean and good life that prisoners have. Many of them actually will commit crimes to go back to prison because it's better conditions there than in the world. This is a deep pit with no light, and she decided to bring candles or tapers to give to the saint so he could have a little light while he was in prison. And then this person who had ordered his torturing, Licinius, took iron combs and tore his flesh, and then he was beheaded. So he died for Christ. St. Blaise is also the patron of wool combers, those who take the wool from sheep and comb it and prepare it, because he had been tortured with these combs used by these men. They'd taken, obviously, by falling victim to the suggestions of Satan, whatever instruments they could take. So they took these combs from these men who deal with wool and used those to torture St. Blaise. And so he's the patron of these men and people who deal with sheep and prepare the wool. Over the centuries, the relics of St. Blaise were brought from the east to the west, and his cult. Now, it's not the way we use the word cult, like some strange pagan religion. The word is from cultus, which means the devotion to him. So whenever you see that in stories of saints, cult or cultus, the Latin, that means the devotion to a particular saint. It spread all over parts of Europe, especially in Germany. And he was influencing these people because there are many cures attributed to St. Blaise by the application of his relics. Another testimony that he was a saint, and of course that he existed. So he's patron saint of wool combers, of wild animals, and of those who suffer afflictions of the throat. And he's also one of the 14 holy helpers, which you may have heard of. We won't go into that. Those are a group of 14 special saints. So after the Mass today, we'll bless the candles, and then while you're receiving the blessing, The priest reads these words just before he makes the sign of the cross over your head. He says, Per intercessionem sancti blasii liberet te Deus amalo gutteris et a quovis oleo malo. And that means, through the intercession of St. Blaise, may God free you from all maladies of the throat and any other afflictions. So that's why it's a very salutary sacramental to receive. And everybody can receive it. Infants, non-Catholics. And if there's any particular intention you have, any sickness, any affliction, even a spiritual one, you can be benefited by receiving this blessing of St. Blaise. Now we're going to speak to you for a few moments on the Epistle and Gospel. And we don't want to go too long because it takes quite a bit of time to do all the bless all your throats. And we do have two priests doing it, but we know you have your schedules. But we also know that you are here to receive spiritual benefits and to learn. And really, time doesn't matter when you come here, right? So, St. Paul, when he was in prison in Rome, it was one of his last epistles, he had very direct words for the Roman Christians. Because what does he do? He's repeating some of the Ten Commandments. He's saying, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't have evil desires, don't covet. But he's saying, and quoting, if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's quoting not only the book of Deuteronomy, but he's quoting our Lord, who spoke of the greatest of the commandments when questioned about that, which is the greatest of the commandments. Because above all commandments, love rules. Now, growing up over the last half a century of hearing all of the words distorted, especially love and charity and mercy, they're twisted by the devil and his agents, because it is said so often, and you hear it today, we shouldn't condemn, we shouldn't judge. Don't talk about sin. We have to just talk about mercy and love. And that's the lie of the devil. Taking the greatest of all virtues and taking quotes of, for example, of St. John, that God is love. And then making it a license, permission to do all sorts of terrible crimes, like a woman who's pregnant and doesn't want her baby, even up to when she's giving birth. We have to have mercy on her and let her kill her baby. That's what New York just signed into law, the governor there. Who's a very evil Catholic, so-called Catholic man. Is that terrible? And it's going, spreading to other states such as Virginia and Vermont, and they're saying it's coming to this state. That even when a woman is in labor, they will allow her to kill the baby, even, let's say, it has a deformity after birth. They will write laws to allow them to kill the poor baby. And notice, even those who are against abortion do not use the word murder. Have you ever heard the word murder commentary because they don't want to get in trouble by saying that's a legal term and it's a legal operation, so you can't use that term. Well, they're caving in already. What about love for the baby? How about mercy for the pearl child? I read recently, just came upon a story about a woman with a couple of girls in grade school. And they were in a public area, and I forgot which state this is. I think it was in a state in the east. And as they're walking through this area, there is a protest, and there are signs, probably, I'm guessing, because they didn't describe it, some conservatives, pro-life people, anti-abortion people, talking about some evil, probably abortion. But they, again, that article didn't describe it. And I believe that was deliberate. But one of the little girls asked her mother, what does that mean there, that word sin? What's sin? Because her mother never taught her what sin was. And the rest of the article is all this flimsy defense of this woman who does not want to be bound by laws from centuries ago and by the patriarchy, as she said, of the church and religion and organized religion. They've made the word patriarch some sort of an evil word. It just means a man who's in charge. And our Lord became a man and he chose 12 men to be apostles. That's just the way it is to lead his church. So this woman that wrote the article had to piece by piece say, I will not be constricted by the word sin, and it's a bad term, and I'm not going to ever mention to my daughters what it means. I want them to be empowered, and for them, they will be on the front lines protesting what they don't agree with and all these very sad explanations of what she's going to turn her daughters into. Because there is a right and a wrong. And so we see how parents and schools are twisting and manipulating the minds of children. We all know that. So, in closing about this epistle, St. Paul is giving us just a direct order, basically, to look at what sin is in our lives and what we're going to do about it. Never play the victim. You know what I mean by that? I can't help committing the sin. I'm sorry, but I just keep doing it over and over again. It takes, with the grace of God, strength of will. His grace is not going to take over us. We have to do our part. Whatever vice, habit of sin, venial sins, mortal sins, we have to root it out. And by doing that, we'll begin the process. How do we do that? Well, first of all, decide to do it. And then pray for God's help. Especially at Holy Communion when you have our Lord in your body and your soul. You say, not only I adore thee, O Jesus, but I'm sorry for my sins, and I renounce my evil inclinations. Then you'll see progress. But it has to be every day, every hour of the day. Now in this gospel, our Lord is with some of the apostles in this boat. And it's clear from the context, it's just to some of the apostles. They're on the Sea of Galilee, which is about 600 feet below sea level. So it's in an unusual place in the desert. And it was fairly common that in the middle of the day, it'd be blue sky and the sun. This is from historians of that time, and it happens today. And then all of a sudden, these squalls, these storms would come from nowhere. And it'd be very violent. And that's what happened. And of course, our Lord, being the Son of God, he knew that this was going to happen. But he was asleep in the boat. Just as some commentators today, theologians say, maybe in the last decades or centuries, it seems our Lord is asleep regarding his church. We have all these terrible things happening. And we can cry out just like the apostles, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And say, after that is said by the apostles, our Lord awakes. "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Here they have the Son of God with them, and they are thinking they're going down. And we think, how far removed are we from this great gift that was given to the apostles to be in the presence of God? And they had already seen miracles performed by him. Now, it isn't that they lacked complete faith, because what did they say, as I just read? "Save us, we are perishing." So they believed that our Lord would save them. And that's what we should believe and reaffirm, our belief that God will save us. Not only from our condition in the world today, but we can say, "Save us regarding our own souls." Each one of us. Because if we don't get help, we will perish. So, in another account of this miracle, it says, our Lord rebuked the wind and the sea. And as it is explained by scripture scholars, he's rebuking the evil spirits who have some influence over the elements, over the weather. As soon as he said the word and rebuked them, instant calm. That's what we should do when we are tempted or depressed or sullen. Say, "Get away from me, Satan. Make room for the Holy Spirit. Help me, Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. Protect me, O dear guardian angel." Speak and pray on a very familiar basis with our Lord and these saints, because they are people. They're not just words in a book or on a holy card. The thing is, our Lord and the Blessed Mother and all the saints and your guardian angel have a great desire that you pray and ask for their assistance. And then, by doing this, you'll begin to have fervor and you'll have what we call spiritual training. you'll be a soldier of Christ. Whether you're confirmed or not, you'll know what to do when you're tempted. Because with God's grace, you can do the same as our Lord did. You can rebuke Satan. Did you ever think of that? Because you have your will. Your intellect's informed with all these truths from your faith. And now you have a strengthened will by your desire to please God and to get to heaven. And now you have the spiritual help of the church with the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. And as they say, there's nothing that you can't do. That's what made the saints saints. May God bless you.